Thanks, Jason, for the nice introduction here. So, I'm the only one talking about public health and genetics in the whole conference. So that's going to be interesting. How's that work? This one? Okay, yes. So this slide, I'd like to introduce our office, which is a National Office of Public Health Genomics. So the vision of the office is to use genomics knowledge to improve the lives and health of all people by integrating genomics into public health research policy and program. So what I'm going to do here is I try to give you the rationale why we build this knowledge base, and then give you a very quick review on what we have in terms of this system. And there's a lot of text mining, data mining involved this whole system. So because time constraint, I just give you very quick and then give a quick review, and then give you a pointer to the reference literature we published. So now you see, if you are aware of the recent, especially after the so-called Human Genome Project, project completion, so there's tremendous research has been done involving gene discovery, a lot of basic biology research. But the goal of all this effort is try to translate, those knowledge, whatever information coming from those project into health application here, in order to, do the prevention, early detection, treatment. Okay. So, but there's a big problem in terms of from gene discovery. So, in terms of funding perspective, NIH has a lot of money, and then they make a big investment on this side. Okay. But in order to make this, discovery, gene discovery, whatever genomic research become really useful, there's a big gap we call translation gap. So that's what our office try to do is to how to closing this gap. In order to, for example, is that possible to develop genetic testing test and in order to achieve either personalized medicine or even apply to public health perspective, but how are we going to do this? Okay, so that's what we focus on in this particular translation. We call translation research. We're interested in the population-based research in we call it genotype prevalence, gene disease association, gene environment interaction, and genetic testing. So by what? By knowledge synthesis, because there's so many publications out there. So they will claim, oh, I found one gene might be involved in blah blah disease, and then people just very proud. Okay, well, I found significant finding, but sometimes it's not true. So a lot of things done in order to give to make that claim. So that's what we're trying to do. So using knowledge synthesis to get the conclusion, well, really something from gene discovery to something useful here. All right. So that's the I'm talking about human genome epidemiology. So the list I just showed last slide is all these five issues we're dealing with. Okay, so the official definition for this human genome epidemiology is systematic application of epidemiology method and approaches to assess the impact of human genetic variation on health and disease. So that's why we call, you see the abbreviate as huge. Okay, that's how we come up with the, so in order to affiliate this effort, okay, it's not just for our office, for this community, research, especially for research community, you need to do this efficient, the knowledge synthesis and evidence-based medicine. So that's why we try to build a knowledge base, we call it a huge navigator. Okay, so you see it. Human navigator is you see the list of the you know, the application here. But so I'm going to touch each of them, you know, very briefly in a minute. Okay, so that's what we talk. Okay, the core data, you know, our office, you know, doesn't produce any data. Okay, we just grab the data from the published literature, which is important. Okay, so that's our data basically. So since 2001, we start collect the PubMed. I don't know, most you know people here should know PubMed, which is a central repository for biomedical literature in you know in the sponsored by the National Library of Medicine. So there's tremendous the publication abstract you know sitting in that database, and then we select you know we screen the PubMed for this we call a huge article from the PubMed database weekly base. So in other words, it's very updated. So we're only 1 week behind in the lag time compared to the PubMed. Okay, and then there's so far this is 8 years, you know, seven years. We have more than 35,000 articles in our database, and then we get this article and then do the further indexing. You know, we have a by June, by other category, is we think is useful. Only one person, full-time curator, with, you know, who is an epidemiologist, doing this every day. That's not a fun job, actually. So, yeah, you know, trust me. Okay, so next, I'm going to give you a very overview about this system. What is about? Okay, now this is our huge database. And then, so the data come from the PubMed database. So we're doing screening, you know, indexing, extracting by either you know, combined human plus computerized approach. And then, definitely there's a whole bunch of data processing, processed behind, happening behind the scene. And then come up, suddenly we're using you know, see the UMLS. That's the only connection I can think of in my knowledge based related to FINS, which is you know something we always hear about FINS. UMLS. I use that as an indexing mechanism in terms of a control vocabulary. And then there's other ontogene, which are other kind of like standard for the gene indexing. And then on top of this. This data, we build web-based interface, allow user to navigate the information. Okay, so now this is, you see the problem. This is good thing or bad thing. Okay, see the this is our huge published literature. So from the 2000 to 2007, you see the number of the published literature is increasing substantially. So it's good or bad because good is more the better, but it's hard to get it. So and then compare this is whole PubMed the data abstract. So if behind I don't know people can you know behind the see can see this red area which is huge article. You see, so you need to get this out of this massive data is really challenging. So let me see, this is our, we call, original weekly huge screening process, which, you know, this is, if you use PubMed, you know, usually people use a specific syntax to you know, to get what you want, okay. But this is our original process, you know, the, we have a PubMed query like this. You see this? Okay. Now, human genome epidemiology is not something you put a human genome epidemiology term into PubMed to give everything. No, it's involves so many stuff. So over the year, you know, our curator, one person, usually it's not that big. It's very small, you know, relatively small. The growing, you need to catch, you know, what we think it should be collected. So that's, and then after that, you see this? That's why I say it's not fun job to do this. 5,000 abstract every week, you know, 40. So she cannot do them all to read all the article. So she had to review the title, to read the title to see, oh, this look like huge. Oh, you know, something like that. And then she ended up with like this, you know, few hundred and opened it up. And then to see, oh, this is our, meet our criteria. And then do a rest for the other index in gene category. Okay, you see this. So you can imagine, so this is really limiting step for the curation process. Okay, now it's one person, two person, even, I don't know. So it's really hard, but not only that. You see, because there's a human involved here, sensitivity is only 80%. In other words, we lose 20% of the, we call it huge article. It's not very good. So that's, you know, give us a motivation to do, you know, we have to show some magic using some, you know, computerized approach, which we develop the, we call the GAP screener. Basically, it's a genetic association publication screener. That's what that stands for. But automatically, screen the huge article from the PubMed, which using one of the machine learning techniques called the support vector machine. So there's a lot of natural language processing involved here. I really don't have time to talk about it, but okay. And then this is free and a standalone application you can download to your desktop, and then I will show you later what to look at. And then, now this one is also can be used for domain-specific literature search. In other words, we collect everything, you know, related to human genome epidemiology. But this tool is designed not just for us, also for somebody else who interests particular domain. For example, you're interested in breast cancer only. So you can put your query, put your criteria there. Okay, now there's a user interface like this. Okay, now I want to give you the comparison a little bit, you know, after we deploy this approach. See, this is a gap screener. Okay, instead of using query, big PubMed query, apply this directly, and then you see this. This is what the tool looks like. This is just one UI there. So what our curator need to do is define start day and end day, which for our case is one week or a couple of days. But you can define whatever there's a calendar pop up. So you can define whatever, you know, time range you want. Okay, and then hit this button, and then the tool automatically goes to the PubMed, because good thing about PubMed and NCBI, they provide API web services, and you can extract the data dynamically on real time. I get to you onto your desktop, I don't know, thousands abstract, and then this tool is processing them. And then the list of this, all this list, they consider, the tool consider this is huge article. Okay, so, and then when we use this, you see the difference. This thing's gone, basically. So anyways, but human has to do something. It's not, you know, computer cannot replace human completely. So down to this stage, you know, she do the same thing as before. You know, review it, you know, indexing, blah, blah. But this part is gone. So you see the how many human effort, you know, save for this using the process. Not only this, 5 minutes, I'm sorry. okay, sensitivity here. 80%, you know, increase to this number. I think it's, you know, you can tell. Okay, now, you need to know the detail. I don't have time to talk about, although 5 minutes left. This is not something, you know, only thing I want to talk. Okay, this publication, with gap screener, you Google, so you can get detail. Okay, now, on top of this, this is important for us, the content. We really want, we don't want to build a shell, okay, like empty shell, put something, okay, it's good or whatever, but content's not good. So that's our focus initially, is as much as possible, as complete as possible in terms of our data. Okay, now, on top of this, we're based on different goal to to navigate or search the database. One is called Huge Literature Finder. Definitely, it's very easy to tell to help you to find the article in human genetic etymology. So there's a free text search which you can put your search term, you know, condition, the disease, or exposure, okay, and then it's part of the list of the article. Okay, the nice thing is about this, you see this button? You can stratify it, you know. For example, you're interested the gene, stratify by gene, and then this is the gene name, we call the gene symbol. And then you can choose one or two, whatever checkbox, and then you come up with this list, which is a this. Right now, the breast cancer and the BRCA1 gene, and you can continue to do the stratification, and then, you know, it's kind of a playground you can play to until you find what you want. Also, definitely, any step, you can download whatever result you can get. So, again, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes, you know, processing, like using web services and then upload, you know, also the UMLS subsetting. So all these things you can find in this article. Okay, I put this whole infrastructure as open source. People can grab it. I don't know if they want to use it, you can go ahead to use it. Okay, and then there's another one is called Huge Investigator Browser, which will help you to find investigator or collaborator in this field. Okay. The way it works is without asking people what's your name, what we're working on, what's, you know, what email address, you know, because we have publication abstract already, so a lot of information is there. For example, you know, this is another profile, this name, institute, you know, but you have to. I have the text mining algorithm to do that because the PubMed doesn't do a good job in terms of standardization on those fields. But all these articles already, you know, the index, the proper disease or something, you know what they're working on. And then, this is how you go, okay, you put breast cancer there. Who's working on breast cancer in human genome epidemiology? There's a list of person there. And then, it will click any of them to tell you, you know, all the personal public information. And then you can stratify by country, for example. So who's working on, you know, this field in the United States? Okay, you do stratification. At this point, all the person right now is, you know, the who's studying the breast cancer in the US. Okay, and then again, this is methodology that's published in another journal. Okay, and then there's one, I should have 1 minute. Okay, good. So let me skip something very quick. This is another tool is try to gather information as much as possible in order to evaluate candidate gene related to disease. So that's called the gene prospector. Basically, what you get is here, put breast cancer here, the whole bunch of information is crossed from molecular biology until epidemiology. So that way you can easily, so all this pop up, you know, I just give you an illustration to see. That's the and Huge Watch, which is tracking evolution of published literature in human genome epidemiology, which is a near real time to see what's going on in this field in terms of number of publication over the year and, you know, spatial distribution, Google Map. Everybody using Google Map. I think there's other stuff you can, you know, just the overall, you can stratify different category. Okay, do the same thing. And then this one also published in somewhere. And then the last tool actually is looking up the summary about the gene disease association. For example, one is called the Femopedia, okay, which actually you want to know what's going on in breast cancer. Okay, so they will list of all this in summary information about the disease. At the same time, they tabulate, you know, the itemized by gene. And then all this link is go somewhere and then you usually get the information. Also this give overview what's going on in this field. It's very handy in terms of, you know, if you're using PubMed, okay. So it's now, okay. So that's again, this different information. You know, there's another one, Genopedia is another way. So for example, what's going on in this gene perspective? So what's the, again, the APOE is one of the famous genes there. So what's the overall, what's the disease has been studied involved this gene? So give you, you know, all this information, the one slide. Again, okay, now, This is one more slide. Okay, you see all this horizontal application. We try to, so we, right now we keep adding more, depends on what we want to do. And then hopefully we can, using this navigate system to come up with something useful. And then not only for that, all these are integrated cross-link each other. So it's not totally independent. So you can, if you're really interested, you can go to www.hugenavigator.net. So this whole thing is published in the Nature Genetics earlier this year. So that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Roy.